more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Tuesday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson with me, and this is 1320 WILS. Tonight, a conservative reporter says he was confronted and threatened by Malia Obama. That's right, the president's daughter, Malia Obama, over the weekend. He'll be here to tell us exactly what happened. Also, state lawmakers dipping into the unemployment agency contingent fund, pulling more and more money out of it. We'll hear from a lawyer who says they need to stop doing that immediately. But let's begin with the impact and the repercussions, the political repercussions of what happened last Friday with the health care bill not being able to move forward, not even getting a vote. Alan Sachs with us, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington. Alan, always great to have you here on 1320 WILS.
Thank you so much. It's always appreciated.
Yeah, and what's first of all, let me ask you about the fact that it didn't even come up for a vote. Who do you think really screwed up here?
Well, a lot of blame. Everybody's tossing around a lot of blame. I listen to a lot of radio talk shows while I'm grading papers, and they're very instructive sometimes. In fact, more often than not, there's one talk show host by the name of Mark Levin. I think he's on right now. Mm-hmm. Very strong conservative, knows the Constitution very well. He was very much in favor of what was called the Freedom Caucus because he holds that they are people of principle. And he likes the idea of principle. You do not deviate from principle. Mm-hmm. There's another talk show host in the afternoon that I listen to by the name of Dennis Prager. And he made an opposite case. He said that when you stick to principle, that you oftentimes, but there's something good that could come about by a compromise, mm-hmm. you do that. So Dennis Prager was very critical, and both of these are very conservative men.
Yeah. But Dennis who do you tend to agree with on this issue?
On this issue, I would go toward Dennis Prager because I don't think you forsake all your principles if you compromise a little bit. In other words, if the Freedom Caucus had compromised a little bit, probably we would have had a replacement for Obamacare mm-hmm. and some kind of we would have no Obamacare, which we have still today, and there would be a new bill coming up. Yeah. Get rid of Obamacare, a new bill coming up. On the other hand, some people argue that the Republican establishment could have treated the Freedom Caucus with a little bit more, not gentility, but a little bit more civility. For example, they wouldn't even let members of the Freedom Caucus, as I understand it, even read the bill. I remember with Senator Rand Paul, now I know he's in the Senate, mm-hmm. but he's very much of a libertarian, has his ideas, and he would have had to have voted eventually. He said a week or two ago that when they rolled out the bill, they would not let him see it.
Right.
But he mm-hmm. said, let me see the bill. And they wouldn't let him see it.
So does this set the tone?
It's crazy.
The tone for what's ahead, Alan? I mean, is this going to be a major issue?
The tone was set when President Trump came into office. And what I mean by that is, I would argue there were people, mostly Democrats and a few Republicans, that were not going to allow him to be a functioning president. Mm-hmm. They were going to put everything in front of them as they possibly could.
Wait, and you think the Freedom Caucus is in that camp?
No, I don't believe the Freedom Caucus is in that camp, but it's a divisiveness that is going on in government. In fact, frankly, if I had to put the blame anywhere, I'd put it with President Obama, who left so many things undone, mm-hmm. so many problems domestically and in foreign politics, Obamacare being one of them. Mm-hmm. So if I had to put the blame, I would put it at the doorstep of President Obama. So
let me ask you that, because some of this, I've heard that President Trump may pivot actually towards Democrats to find compromise with them. Is he better off doing that or trying to warm up to the Freedom Caucus?
I would think that he ought to warm up to the Freedom Caucus and at least tell the Speaker of the House, Mr. Ryan, and a few others, look, let them read the bill, for goodness sake. That's ridiculous. Yeah. In fact,
they eventually did read it. They didn't like it, though, right? That was the problem.
They did not like it.
Yeah.
But I remember Louis Gohmert, who's a congressman from here in Texas, G-O-H-M-E-R-T. he said on a program right after the vote, or no vote, rather, when they pulled the bill last Friday, he said, we asked to meet with them. We asked to meet with the Republican leadership and the more moderate Republicans, and they wouldn't meet with them. So if that is true, and I believe it is, that's just absolutely ridiculous.
Why would they not do it? What, did they think they didn't need their votes, or how did that?
Probably didn't need their votes, or who knows what. They were overconfident, but they really blew it. No matter what they did, they blew it. But I understand that as of this morning, that the Republicans have not given up on health care. If they've not given up on health care, my 2 cents advice is talk to the Freedom Caucus. Get their input. Don't ignore them. And they're ideological. They're very principled. Talk to them. And you may not have to give them everything, but talk to them a little bit because you're going to need their vote. I would do that before I would go to the Democrats because the Democrats are so solidly in favor of keeping Obamacare. I don't think there's going to be much much to do with them, frankly.
Alan Sachs with us, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington. Sounds like you listen to a lot of talk radio. Who's your favorite national syndicated talk show host radio-wise?
I listen to so many, and I've been doing it for so long. If I had to grab at one, I think Dennis Prager, who's in the afternoon, I listen to him very quietly in my office when I'm reading a book or grading papers and ready to go to class. But he's very thoughtful. I don't agree with him on everything, by any means. I don't agree with anybody on anything.
Well, what about someone like Sean Hannity, though?
They're good people. Sean Hannity, lately, he's on a subject, and he won't let it go, and I agree with him. His subject is, has the President Obama's administration, have they been spying on Donald Trump? And he's had people on for the past 3 or 4 days and weeks, maybe several weeks, trying to authenticate that. And he's still on it.
Do you think there's a story there?
I think there very definitely is a story there. It may be more than circumstantial, but that's his big issue. He is very dogged. He's not going to give that up. But the reason I like Dennis Prager, he really is telling you something sort of out of his soul, I think. It's really very interesting talk, listening to him.
You say out
I don't
of
agree
soul.
With him
what,
at all.
What do you mean by that, out of his soul?
Just the way he talks about what is a conservative, how he lives his life, what is important, why conservatism is so important in his life.
Well, do you feel that some talk show hosts nationally are acting their roles? Is that what it is?
No. I don't think they're acting at all. But I think they just go after a topic, and they just grab a topic and, you know, like a dog grabs a bone or a toy and shakes it, you know. And that's important. That's very valuable. But Dennis Prager goes a little bit more in depth. Again, I disagree with him on some other issues very, very much.
Like what? What's your
soul? Oh, he has something on Fridays called the Happiness Hour. I mean, I'm saying, oh, come on. There is no happiness around. He would get mad at me for saying that. But think of the irony in that. Yeah. Somebody getting mad at me for saying I don't believe in happiness. Right. You know?
Although you do seem quite happy. Alan Sachs with us on WILS. Do you tell your students about what you listen to on the radio? Do you encourage them to listen a little bit? Or?
I don't very much, but I really ought to. I don't. They don't listen to talk radio very much.
They listen to podcasts, right? That kind of
probably. They're on Facebook a lot. They are a very interesting, I put that in quotes, a very interesting group of young people these days, as you might imagine. Yeah. And most college campuses, as everybody knows, are very liberal for the most part. Most student bodies are very liberal. Mine, I do have a few conservatives in there. I've seen them talk on various subjects. But the majority of them seem to be just like college students at any other major college or university. And we're a big university here. We're very large.
Are they following, especially in the political science students, are they following the news, what, via mainstream media, CNN and so on?
Some do. They're following that quite a bit. But a lot of them, it's just not part of their consciousness. They're on to other things. But there's enough students in there following these things, and it does. I try not to discuss much of this in class, but inevitably it sort of comes out. Yeah. By the way, what is interesting, sort of off to the side, we've had some people here at our University of Texas at Arlington from Michigan State, and in turn, some of our people have gone to Michigan State.
Oh, really? Well,
in fact, the new dean of business at Michigan State is from our university, and she's a wonderful lady.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, she probably is enjoying the weather there. Alan, just a minute or two left. I wanted to get your thoughts on the immigration issue because Jeff Sessions, of course, came out. He's going after the sanctuary cities.
That's right.
You're down there in Texas. How do you think, well, what do you think the impact is going to be of the way President Trump is going after illegal immigration?
He's defending the law. He's defending the law. I do not understand the issue of sanctuary cities. Here are local officials. The mayor of Dallas has... I think he doesn't call it a sanctuary city. He calls it a welcoming city. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. These people are defying federal law.
The idea that we're now going to actually go after illegal immigrants and really consider deporting millions of people, how does that
No. I hope we don't deport millions of people, but I do think we need to defend the law.
Okay.
And especially if somebody, I think it sends a message, no more. If we would just defend our immigration laws, and by the way, in Fort Worth, Texas, which is about 5-10 miles from where I am right now,
mm-hmm.
The sheriff did detain just recently 20 or 30 illegal immigrants, I don't know how else to put it, mm-hmm. and turned them over to ICE. And that was done just several days ago.
Some of the other side likes to call them undocumented residents. Hey, tell me this, Alan, just a minute left, but tell me this. You don't support mass deportation.
No.
So how do you think we should deal with the problem of so many millions being here illegally?
I would definitely say we're going to enforce our current immigration laws. That would be first, but really do it. If somebody is arrested as an illegal immigrant and they can be defined as an illegal immigrant, I think it's important to turn them over to the immigration authorities, which we've not done in the past. So it's not a matter of deporting thousands or millions of people. But if somebody is arrested and mm-hmm. charged, and they are an illegal immigrant, I think it is the duty of state officials and county officials to turn them over
and
to
you're saying
immigration.
With those that are not, let them remain living here and with an illegal status? Is that
yeah, I wouldn't let them have no amnesty, mm-hmm. even though Ronald Reagan had amnesty at one point, or just too many. But no amnesty,
yeah.
But close the borders down, be very, very close about who comes here. By the way, it's not just people coming across the border. It's a lot of people, I imagine, on visas.
Right, that overstay their visas.
And they overstay the visas, and they don't track that.
Well, that's something we should do. Alan Sachs, political science professor, University of Texas at Arlington. Alan, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.